Amen. Let's open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 tonight. Got two passages for us, Luke chapter 2. And then if you would also find Psalm 98 as well. What a blessing that was to just hear the children's program. So thankful that we were able to still do it. And great job by all the kids. Let's go and give them a hand. Great job. Very proud of them. And I've always wanted to preach from home, so I get to do that tonight. And, can't wait to watch the video later, see how it looks. But I don't watch, anyways. All right, Luke chapter 2. I don't watch my own sermons. If I wasn't here, I would watch, I promise. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 16. And as we, this whole day there's been a theme. In Sunday school we spoke on praise, and as Pastor already mentioned, he spoke on praise again in the morning service. And tonight we are going to look at praise. And I think that the Lord does know exactly where each and every one of us are at tonight. And it seems that praise is something that would do a lot of us good in our walk with the Lord, and reminding us each and every day of who God is. And also, He is very much worthy of our praise. I'm thankful to be reminded of the Christmas story, the fact that He came for us. We're going to look at this story again tonight. Luke chapter 2, let's start reading there in verse 16. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the children and the great job they did in the program just a few moments ago. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be there, each and every one of us here for these next few moments as we look in your word and remind it, God, of the need that we have to praise you. Lord, bless us, I ask, Lord, in your name. Amen. This is the first Christmas program I've ever seen in the month of January. But as we were here tonight, it's a great reminder that no matter what time of year it is, we should never come to a place where we've gotten too much of hearing the birth of Christ and hearing how he came to this world and the greatest story ever told, which was the story of Jesus. And as we look at the Christmas story, I love looking at the story of Christ coming to this world. And as we look at it, we look at it from different point of views. We look at it from different people in the story. And as we look here, we see Mary and Joseph. And as we look at the story, we can imagine being in the position that they were at this time. Just 9 months before, they were engaged to be married. They were just young people in the world trying to establish their lives, looking forward to what was ahead. And Mary received the news from Gabriel that she was going to have the Son of God. You think about the shock that would have been. And as Joseph found out what was going on, and just several months later, they're looking at the Son of God that God used them to bring to this world. What an incredible thing that must have been for them. And one of my favorite points of the story is the shepherds. We think of these average men that worked in the fields each and every day, that were dirty, that were tired, that spent a lot of time outside, that most likely were not very educated. And as they're there in the field watching the sheep, as they did every single night, angels come to them in the sky and start singing and praising and telling them that the Son of God, the Messiah that they've been waiting for their whole life, was finally there. I couldn't imagine being there as that happened and being in the position of the shepherds as they hear the news and as they run to find the babe there in the manger, and they got to see him with their own eyes. And as we looked here in Luke chapter 2, we see that as they left, all they could do was tell people what they had seen. They were telling everybody about what they had experienced, about the angels, about the Messiah, the one they've heard their whole life that was finally here, and they've seen it with their own eyes. And as those things tailed off and as they had told people, we find them being able to do nothing but praise and glorify God for everything they had seen and heard. You know, the coming of Christ brought great joy. That hope was finally fulfilled. They'd seen Jesus come to this world, and they were wondering what was going to come next. And that joy that we find in Luke chapter 2 and those shepherds, and that we know that Mary and Joseph felt in their heart, should still come to each and every Christian when we think of Christ. When we think of Him coming for us and the way that He came and why He came, it should bring joy to our heart. And as joy is brought to our heart and as awareness of why He came comes to us, it should to cause us to praise and glorify God. To be led to do nothing but that. To know that's what we need to do because of who He is and what He's done. If you have your place there in Psalm 98, let's turn there together. There's a collection of psalms here that's an exhortation to praise. And we look in Psalm 98, verse 1. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity." We have some reasons to praise here in this psalm. One of the first things we find, we can praise God tonight because of salvation. We can praise Him because of salvation. It says, "The Lord hath made known His salvation." When Jesus came to there in that stable in Bethlehem as that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, He was God in the flesh. And as He came, He was fulfilling the prophecy and showing the truth that we find in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That baby that was there in the manger, that baby that the shepherds came to see, that baby that Joseph and Mary were holding was the one that was going to pay the debt that we could never pay. Brought the gift of salvation. God's gift of salvation was brought to the shepherds, and they were the ones that were first chosen to see, and the first ones chosen to spread the good news of the birth of Christ. And after they did that, as we've already said, they were driven to praise. Since that night in the manger, God's been working to reveal His gift to the world. And it's our duty as Christians to go and to share with others what God has done for us and that He came to pay the debt we can never pay. But not only should we have a desire to tell, but because of salvation, we should be brought to praise Him. If salvation was all that we received from God, that's enough. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton, one responsible for that great impact on the Red Cross, she was in Cuba. And there was a colonel by the name of Theodore Roosevelt that came through with his Rough Riders, and as he was coming through that area of Cuba where the Red Cross was, he went to Clara Barton and he asked if he could buy some food. They had been traveling for some time. He wanted food. He wanted drink for the men. And as he asked Clara Barton if he could buy food, she said, "No, you cannot." He's very confused. He's talking about how hungry his men were. And he started offering more money. And no matter what he offered her, she would not accept what he wanted to give for the food. He was very confused. He was growing a little bit angry, thinking of the responsibility he had to take care of his men. And as he was walking away, there was a man that started to laugh at him and said, "Colonel, just ask for it." As he heard this man say that, he said a smile came over his face and he understood that the food was not for sale. All he had to do was ask and it was theirs. Salvation is a free gift. And I praise God tonight that to obtain salvation, it's not about our works, as the Bible says. It's not about us trying to attain righteousness. It's not about us trying to do more good than bad. But it's by grace through faith. Understanding that it's nothing that we can do, but it's putting our faith and trust in what He has already done. Salvation is a free gift and one that should drive us to praise. We can praise him because of salvation. We can praise him because of mercy. We praise him not just because of salvation, but because God chooses to be merciful to us. Verse 3, it says, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. We just finished a couple months ago a series on Abraham and the children of Israel. And as we looked at the children of Israel, we observed a lot of mistakes made by them. God was always there with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. God had provided all the food they need. When they were thirsty, he gave them water. When they were stuck in a hard place, he parted the Red Sea for them to get out. God did everything they need over and over again to provide for them. But what we found the Israelites doing was many times ceasing to praise when they were uncomfortable, and other times just thinking life was over, saying it'd be better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to die out here. And we kept seeing great lack of faith, but through all those things, God kept his promise and God continued to show mercy on the Israelites. And God has extended much mercy to us. How often do we truly think about the mercy that is daily extended on our lives? We need to rejoice in the goodness, the kindness, the faithfulness of God, because it's very evident in our life if you just step back and look. During the reign of Napoleon, there was this mother who heard that her son was about to be put to death. And at the time, if anyone committed the same crime twice, they would, no matter what it was, they'd put to death. And this mother was on her knees begging Napoleon, the great dictator, for mercy. And Napoleon looked at this woman and said, but your son does not deserve mercy. And this woman said a great truth, and she said, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, but it's all I ask for. And he granted that to her. We don't have the mercy of God because we deserve it. We have it because he's extended it to us. Now, the Bible reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing we can do to earn a place in this world where we deserve anything from God, but he has chosen to show mercy. He has chosen to unconditionally love us and unconditionally lead us and help us in our Christian life each and every day. And can I remind you tonight that everything that you have at this moment is better than you deserve. There will never be a time in your life where God chooses not to be a merciful God. He's promised us, today as the sun rises up, the Bible tells us that God's mercies are new. It's available, it's there. He continues to be a merciful God. And God, knowing what we will face, knowing how we will fall, knowing when he was on the cross, everything we would ever do extended mercy, and we can praise him for that. Just very quickly, think about what you deserve. Think about what you deserve at this moment, and think about what you have because of Christ. And it should drive us to praise. We praise him because of salvation, because of mercy. We praise him because he is a righteous judge. We read there in that last verse, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Very quickly, we understand that God is not only the great judge, but God is the righteous judge. He judges with righteousness, with equity. He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, how you look. God looks at us the same. Looks at us as sinners, and he judges us fairly. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The great thing about Jesus, about God as a judge, is that he is right and fair. We also understand that he will not be fooled. While many people today go through the motions of Christianity, the Lord knows what we do and why we do it. We need to understand that as Christians, that God knows our heart, God knows our intentions, God knows the secret things of our life, and you may be able to fool others, maybe able to fool your parents or your spouse, your friends, your pastor, but you will not fool God. At a praise him tonight, as he's our judge, he has also provided the way of life in which we should live. He has given us very clear instructions. He's not left morality to our own thoughts and to our own decisions. He's clearly shown us in his word what is right, and all we have to do is do it. But I praise God tonight that we don't have to question what is expected of us. We know we are to live according to the word of God. And knowing that God alone is our judge and he is fair and righteous should bring us to obedience, but it should also bring us to a life of praise. Thankful for what he's done, thankful for what he's provided, the leading. We can praise him tonight for salvation, for mercy, that he's a righteous judge. And the last thing, we need to praise him tonight because it's commanded. It's commanded. We look in verse 4, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. It's commanded. I did a quick search yesterday and I saw that there's 216 verses in the Bible that speak of praise. Over 100 verses speak of the thought of thankfulness. Over 183 verses dwell on the thought of joyfulness. So many dwell on the thought of worship. Praise is extremely important to God, and it's a command, it's a declaration, it's a prompting that we find throughout his word, and it needs to be part of our life. With everything we've already looked at tonight, salvation, mercy, and so many more things from the word of God, those things alone should bring us to praise. But if those things you find sometimes hard to praise him for, just remember he's commanded you to do it. We've been commanded to have praise in our heart. Verse 4 through 8 of this chapter, we read a description of that joy bringing us to a point of praising him in many different ways. Singing, playing of instruments, the making of joyful noises, clapping, different celebrations they would do to show praise to God. And that joy that is in our heart because of what's been done for us should not just stay in our heart. Those thoughts of praise that we many times feel in our life should need to come out, need to be given back to God. And praise should not just come in singing, should not just come in speaking, but should come in every single thing that we do. It should be obvious to the people around us, to the people that see us each and every day, that something positive has happened in our life, and it's Jesus. And because of what's happened in our life, it should bring a difference in our life and should point people to God. As we were sitting in the pews tonight, I was praising God for the thought that all five of my kids were up here singing together at the same time. I think that's the only time they'll be doing that in the kids' choir. But it was an awesome thing to see all five of them up there together. It was something that got me a little fired up thinking about that. It's great to see a group this large of kids of our church up here smiling, singing, and praising. Here at the church, we do things in the different ministries to teach children at an early age that God is not only worthy to be praised, but that they should praise him. Even in the nurseries, they are in there singing songs. Sunday school and children's church, they are learning songs of praise to God and singing them with a smile to him. And at the age of 4, they can join a children's choir and they can be here every week and learn songs about Jesus and see people that are happy teaching them to do those same things. And we teach them why we should praise God and what he has done for them. And the songs they sing, again, tell them why they need to praise and what God has done for them. As they age out of the children's choir, we have a spot for them in the youth choir. And we have that going on a regular basis, and we try to get our teenagers to sing out for the Lord, and we have a special group, and I'm so thankful for the quality of music we get from the teenagers of this church. What a blessing that is. And as they get out of the youth group, in 10th grade actually, 11th grade, they can join the adult choir, and they can be part of the weekly worship we have together with our church choir. So thankful for each and every one of those things. Every service we have congregational singing. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, the the truth and that we get to sing about our God, and all of us, hundreds of us, praising Him together with one song is just an incredible thing. But many times it's something that we take for granted, or something that we don't look at as important as other things. Many times praise is overlooked by the Christian. It shouldn't be overlooked because we have great reason to praise, and we've also been done for us. It is all part of praise. I want to encourage the families tonight to praise God together at home. Something our family's been doing for a couple years, and we don't do it as often as we should, but some of those times we've had together at the kitchen table are some of the sweetest memories I have of my kids. We need to encourage our kids to praise God. And it's hard for us to do that if we are not doing it in our daily life. We are commanded to praise. We're not going to go there for time's sake, but a few chapters back in Psalm 95, we find an extremely similar description of reasons to praise as we saw here in Psalm 98. But as you read the whole chapter of Psalm 95, if you look at it later, you'll see a life of praise and encouragement to praise, and then you're going to find them speaking of the Israelites in the wilderness. And he references the thought of, he says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And he was reminding them to praise God and to worship God as they should, but he also brought up the fact of they need to be careful not to let their heart come to a place where it's calloused or hardened to the things of God and they are no longer praising. And the longer I go through my own life and observe my heart and observe others, I'm more and more convinced that as a Christian, you're dwelling in one of those two positions. You're either living a life that is praising God, or you are living the life of a Christian with a hard heart. We've come to a place where the songs just don't do what they used to do for you. The Word of God isn't something that brings you in as it once did. God doing something for you in your life isn't really recognized as Him doing something for you in your life. Many times when the praise stops, there's a door for the devil to get in and to harden our heart. I want to encourage you tonight, don't stop praising God. Make a decision each and every day of your life to praise Him. Kids, you did a great job tonight. Don't stop praising God. Mom and Dad, praise God. On your own, praise Him in front of your family. Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, Uncle, Christian, live a life of praise. Don't let those that you have an influence over see an unthankful, murmuring life controlled by fear. But let them see one that recognizes God each and every day for who He is and what He's done. Jesus coming to this world brought joy to all who saw. And I praise Him that He didn't come to bring salvation and mercy and to be the righteous judge of just a few, but He came for everyone. And as you live your life, do it with joy and praise Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Because of Christ, we have great reason to praise. Great reason to praise. We have salvation. We have a merciful God. And it's commanded to us. How is your praise tonight? Lord, we love You, God. We thank You for who You are, what You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for God, each and every gift You've given, Lord, the unconditional love You show. Lord, for saving our souls, and I pray tonight Lord, each and every one of us are, Lord, encouraged by the great job the children did through praising you about coming to this world for them. But also I pray that we are each encouraged to be committed to being a Christian that praises you on a regular basis. Bless the invitation. We ask in your name. Amen.